Now, as we watch that video, I think for the most part, we all can sort of agree there's something wrong with that, right? Little boys shouldn't dress up like little girls. They shouldn't wear dresses. We shouldn't have books called Princess Boy, right? But for the first time, I think as a culture, we really can't answer the question, why not? I mean, if you were posed with the question, why is this wrong? What would you say? You just shouldn't. And I think the reason why, as a culture, we look at things like that and we can't really figure out, okay, we know there's something wrong with that, right? We know that this shouldn't be going on, but we don't really know why. And as you see, there is a whole group of people that are really embracing this. And as the guy was quoted to say, our social network is changing. Everything we know about gender and sex, it's all changing. And he, in a large way, is right. And the reason I think our culture is so confused and why we can't answer the question, okay, we think it's wrong, we feel it's wrong, but we can't exactly say why it's wrong, is because as a culture, we have completely thrown out our own owner's manual. I mean, we have. We are creation. God is creator. But we don't like that very much because we want to be in control. We want to navigate the world how we want to do it. So we've rejected God's word, and now we're trying to figure out how to live life, and there is utter confusion. So that clip, in a nutshell, kind of helps introduce the weekend and introduce the theme. And the reason why we're going to look at biblical manhood and biblical womanhood is because as a society, we are confused about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman, or what it means to be feminine and what it means to be masculine. You, as students, have so many things swirling around your brain about masculine and feminine and gender and female and male that we're going to try to help you dig through some of that and see what does the Bible say about biblical manhood and biblical womanhood. I want to tell you my experience in this whole thing of what we'll call gender blending. And it came from what I'll call college confusion. Okay, I went to college. I was in a certain major, organizational communication, that this is one of the big things they were pushing, was a thing called gender blending. And this might be a little boring, but try to track with me because it's going to help explain why a video like that happens, okay? So we got gender blending, and really there's two things that go on in gender blending, and I want to put both of them up, and then I want to talk about it. Number one, it is the rejection of sex as male and female, okay? When you were born, your birth certificate asks, what sex are you, either male or female? That's biological. You are born either male or female, right? You didn't have a choice over that. It wasn't like at some point in the womb, God showed up and said, hey, would you like to be a girl? Would you like to be a guy? No, you just were born. Okay, God created you a certain way. But now, we find that to be very caged in, right? We don't have a lot of choice over that. And to be honest, we don't like that because we're people who like freedom. We don't like things already determined. We don't like to be told what to do. We like to choose. So what happens is we have a rejection of sex, male and female. In the academic world, they're kind of going away from talking about people as male and female. And it's been introduced this new term called gender. So we're no longer talking about male and female, but instead we're talking about gender. And that is masculine and feminine. Okay? Now, if you're familiar with gender, it's a term that comes for grammar, right? If you have a pronoun, you have to know what the pronoun is modifying, right? If it's modifying a masculine guy, then it's him. If it's a masculine girl, it's her. So that's where gender came from. But now we're using gender to describe who we are. And the term is, instead of you're either male or female, it's beginning to be seen you're either masculine or feminine. Now, why this change in lingo? Why is this going on in academic circles? And why is this trickling down to our culture? Well, here's the reason why. In the bottom one, gender, it's not something you're born with as it's being proposed. It is something in life you choose. Do you see where that comes? You see some freedom there? Here's good news, they're telling us. You no longer have to be born male or female, but you can choose to either be masculine or feminine. And here is sort of the bottom line to all of this, that no longer does your birth determine who you are and how you should act, but instead you do. And here's where this boils down to. If you are a man, you've got two choices in gender. You can either be masculine or you can be feminine. Those are the two choices. See, there's some choices here. We like choices, right? We like buffets, right? We like big lines of big food with all kinds of choices. That's what we like. We don't like to be told, here's what you have to eat. So if you're a man, you can choose, okay, I want to be a feminine, I want to be a masculine. That's the kind of person I want to be. Or if you're a woman, you can either choose to be feminine or you can choose to be masculine. And here is what the culture belief is that really drives this. And the culture belief is going to be contrasted to the biblical truth, okay? So if you're taking notes, this will be a good thing to jot down. This is kind of point number one over the whole sermon. There's going to be 2 points. It's going to be a quick sermon. I'm the introduction to tonight's talks, okay? So you guys track with me. Here is point number one. Our cultural belief is this. Men and women are equally the same. Get that? Okay, the cultural belief is men and women are equally the same. Okay, the same. Now that word, the same, is the key there. Because we're going to see in a moment that the biblical truth is men and women are equally different. Don't write that down yet. We're going to get to that. But I want you to kind of compare the two. Okay? Culture is saying men and women are equally the same. And here is, there's really 2 things that come of this. Number one, men and women are equally the same. In other words, how you act, how you think, your role in society, what you should be pursuing, all of that is equally the same. In other words, I see boys in here, I see girls in here. You all are exactly the same with the exact same function, with the exact same roles. That's what we as culture want to believe. Okay, there's no difference whatsoever between gender or between the sexes. And then number two, this is where our culture is seeing this. Traditional roles that are attached to either women or men are being thrown out. Okay? So think of like traditional roles. For instance, men, you know, you've got provider, protector. Well, those are traditional roles. So we want to throw those out. Because if you're a man and you want to be a provider and a protector, then you're barbaric, you're traditional, you're old school. And what you want to be is modern, right? Doesn't that sound way better than traditional? How many of you guys want to be traditional? How many of you guys want to be modern? Modern sounds good, right? The modern family, modernness. And this is, so for you, instead of being protector and provider, you need to be nurturer, right? You need to be the caring one. You need to have those traits. And those things that we're used to, talked about for women, those things like caregiver and nurturer and some of those things that were traditionally thought to be for girls to do, those are thrown out. Because ladies, if you want to be a caregiver and a nurturer, that's so traditional. That's so barbaric. That's so old school. No, you need to be provider, leader out there in the front line because that is traditional. We want it to be modern. So you've got this thing of we're all the same, but really what happens is when we boil it down and when it hits our world that we live in, here's what really happens. Here's what I think the expectation is now. Men are expected to act feminine, and women are expected to act masculine. As you see your culture, which we're going to see, as we hear the things that we hear, for a man to be masculine, it's barbaric, it's traditional, it's behind the times. And for a girl to be feminine, that's a dirty word. It's behind the times, it's traditional. What we want to be is modern. So here's the deal. Guys, be feminine. Women, be masculine. That's what our culture is pushing. And I'll give you just a few examples in pop culture. For instance, you have Beyonce. I'll pick on Beyonce for a little bit, who is really pushing the diva movement, right? We all want to be divas if you're a girl, which is a female version of a hustler, right? Want to be divas. She's got a song out that calls Girls Who Run the World. Right? Girls Who Run the World, right? We want to rule the world. And if you listen to Beyonce, her message is, man, girl power. Man, girls, you lead. You rule the world. You're in charge. You're strong. You're powerful. Forget the men. Man, leave them behind, right? They're not very bright, so just leave them. You run things. Okay, so that's the message you've got here by Beyonce. And just so we know, you're probably going to get angry during these talks. I just want to throw that out there. Okay, because you're so culturally ingrained that you, in your mind, if you're a female, think I'm going to be this. If you're a guy, you're thinking I want to be this. And probably this weekend, the Bible is going to conflict those. Okay, and you're going to have a choice to make. Do I believe God or do I believe culture? So here we are, Beyonce. You got to be a diva. You got to rule the world. Forget the guys. You lead. You're out there. You're strong. You are the woman, right? Well, it's so amazing. This blew me away. We're watching American Idol, me and my wife, and Beyonce was helping coach some of the singers. And they did an interview with Beyonce. And I'll never forget this. Because here's Beyonce. She's the diva, right? She's who all you girls want to be, right? She's running the world. She's taking control. She's the leader, right? They did an interview with Beyonce. I'll never forget this. Beyonce said, you know what? Before I take the stage, I always have to tell myself this. I have to orchestrate them. I have to run over. I have to say these words. I'm a diva. 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 It's just I have to keep telling myself that. Because when I walk out on that stage, I want to be a diva. I want to be in control. But you know what? I'm really not like that at all. I'm not anything like I portray to be on stage. I'm kind of shy. I'm reserved. But when I go out on stage and all these girls are looking to me, I've got to be strong, powerful, and in charge. And what's amazing here is you have this lady who is putting out the message to be a woman means to be strong, in charge, and to be a diva. And herself is not even that way. She's not even living that life. But she's calling all of you girls to. So I just want you kind of see, okay, culture is telling you this. If you're female, be strong, be courageous, be the leader, be out front. But here's what you need to know. Some of the women that are actually telling you that aren't even living it out themselves. So we've got all this gender blending, right? You've got Lady Gaga, if you saw the Grammys, she comes out dressed like what? A man, right? I'm telling you, culture is all over this. Satan is all over this more than you even know. That was not just a subtle gag. There was a lot going on behind the scenes on that to say, hey, I'm a girl, but you know what? I can either choose to be a man, I can choose to be a woman, I can choose to be whoever I want to be, and if I want to be a guy, that's how I'll be, because nothing is going to hold me back. I have freedom. So you have all these different things going on in your culture, and for us guys, man, we are being bombarded. I'll call it the sitcom male or the sitcom dad. How many of you guys ever watch sitcoms? You're watching things. There was one that used to be on. It's like reruns now. You probably haven't even heard of it. It's called Everyone Loves Raymond. Anybody heard of that show? All right. Everyone Loves Raymond. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about Raymond. He's like the cultural dad, right? And here's what he is. He's a complete sissy. He makes no decisions. He has no real ambitions in life. He comes home. He's very passive, right? His wife is always telling him what to do. She's always got one up on him. She's way smarter than him. He's like the butt of every joke. He never knows what's going on. And it's funny because we all laugh at who? Raymond, right? Because he's an idiot. But here's what is subtly pushed. Not just Raymond is an idiot, but guess what? Men are idiots. Dads are idiots. Husbands are idiots. So ladies, don't follow them. Don't respect them. Laugh at them and take charge. There was a new sitcom that came out. And it's called Up All Night. And sort of the whole premise is this couple have a new baby. And he's a lawyer. She works at a news broadcast. And the lawyer, who's the guy, quits his job so he can be the hero, right? Because in our culture, if you want to be a hero, guess what you do? You're a stay-at-home dad. There's nothing more glamorized in our culture right now than the stay-at-home dad, right? He's the one that quits his job so he could give his wife all of her dreams. She could go and pursue her career, and he'll stay home. He'll change the diapers. He'll do all that kind of stuff. But it's funny because how they portray it is, the guy's still an idiot, right? He's still at home playing video games, online chatting with some other stay-at-home dad who's playing video games, and he has no real responsibility. She's still completely in control outside the house and inside the house. So here the stay-at-home dad is glamorized, but he's still a stay-at-home dad who is an idiot. So here's the message to you guys. We're all a bunch of idiots. That's what culture wants you to know, and that's what culture wants all of the girls in this room to believe. I dare say, if you're watching a sitcom right now, it has a stay-at-home dad. Guaranteed. Because that's what we as a culture want to say. Man, there are no functional roles. It's everyone's the same, everyone's equal, but what really comes out is we need to reverse everything. You see, wives used to be thought to be the primary people who raise the kids. Well, that we need to flip that because that's traditional. We need to be modern. So dads, we need to be the ones who stay at home and raise the kids. Why you ladies, you need to be the ones who go out and chase your dreams. So, and we're going to get into a lot of that tonight on how this actually boils down. But here's the big thing you need to see. Here's what culture is telling you. Men and women are equally what? The same. Let's say that again. Men and women are equally the same. We're equal, but we are the same. Now, here's what I want to show you, what is the biblical truth. And I'm going to show you from the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. Men and women are equally what? Different. Everybody say that again. Men and women are equally different. Okay? Now, notice both of those things start out the same way. Equal. Okay? I want you to know from the Bible, if you're a man or if you're a woman, you are both equal in God's sight. No one's better, no one's lesser. We're all equal. Okay? But equalness doesn't equal sameness. In God's creation, He created us all equal, but He also created us equally different. If you have your Bibles, go to Genesis, because I want you to see this from God's Word and not just from my lips. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He barred the heavens and the earth. He creates everything." Now, why is that important? There's something big you got to get here, and it's going to be Awana stuff. It's going to be very elementary. You already know this, but I want to reintroduce it to you. God is creator. You are creation. Everybody get that? God is creator. You are creation. He created you. You did not create yourself. Now, why does that matter? It matters big time. Because here's the deal. Guess who's in charge? God. Not you. I'm not in charge. God's in charge. I didn't create myself. I didn't make this planet. So God gets to set the rules. He gets to say, "You're my creation. Here's how I want you to act. Here's what I want you to do." And our responsibility to that is to say, "Man, God, thanks for creating me. Like, this is awesome. I've got a body. I can go outside when the weather is amazing. I can enjoy everything. Okay, you've created me. This is so great. I'm going to love you and act the way you've created me to act. That's what I want to do because I want to please you and obey you and worship you." So God is creator, your creation. He's in authority. So here's the deal. When He speaks, we have to listen. And what else? Not just listen, but what? Obey. Right? So tonight or this evening, we're going to listen and obey. So here we're going to look at creation. Okay? And man, we got men and women are created equally different. Genesis 1 verse 26 through 27 or 28 says this. "Then God said, let us," notice that, God speaking in plural terms. What do we have here? We've got the Trinity, right? God who is one and also three, right? One person, one nature, one being, but three persons of that nature and being. So you've got God in His pluralness is saying, "Let us make man in our image." Just a little note, we're going to hit on this, but that word man, it doesn't mean the guys. It means mankind. It means human beings. So God is creating human beings in what? In His own image. That's crazy. He's creating us in our image. "After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock, and over the earth, and over everything that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Check this. male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So here we see God creates man in his own image. And then he says, not just man, but female and male in my image. So here's what you need to know. Point number one, you are a creation of God. And number two, you are created in his image. So you are an image bearer of God. I mean, that's just something that still hasn't set in with me quite yet, that I image God. So here's what that looks like. When I look at you, I see some things that are true about God. Is that not amazing? Like when I look at you, I can see some things about God because we are the only thing in all of creation that actually reflect his image. But here's what's really neat. When I look at Hunter Busey, I only see a part of God. I don't see him in his complexity, okay? I just see a little portion of him because Hunter is representing one part of this two-part species that is going to reflect the glory of God. So it's not only Hunter, but it's also Emily. It's the two. It's the male and female. It's you in your femaleness. It's you in your maleness together as we see both of you and how you interact. That glorifies God. That is reflecting of his very image. So here we see God creates us all equal. We all have value, dignity, and worth. We're in the image of God. We are equal. If you're a girl, you're equal to the men. If you're a man, you're equal to the women. We're all equal. We're all created in the very image of God. But notice, he didn't create us equally the same. He didn't say he created male and male in his image. He created female and female in his image. No, he created us male and female in his image. Here's what we've got. God created sex. He created male and female. He created the gender differences that we see today. It was his idea. It was his very creation. And I want to read a quote from this guy named Tom Constable. I read him a lot. So just listen to this quote because I thought it was brilliant what he said about the image of God. He says, this image is found in the type of relationship that was designed to exist between male and female human beings. A relationship where the characteristics of each sex are valued and used to form a oneness in their identity and purpose. When God created human beings as male and female, he formed them to exhibit a oneness in their relationship that would resemble the relationship of God and his heavenly court. Is that not amazing? That God, he creates us male and female for the purpose of that we, as we act out the gender that we were created to be, as men act like men, as women act like women, that in our differences reflects the glory of God. So here's what you need to know. God is the one who created you, either male or female. And here's sort of the big idea. He created you that way for a reason. And that reason is for his ultimate glory. So we're created equal, but we are created equally different. And one day, hopefully, Lord willing, you're going to find the grand purpose for the differences of gender. And that is marriage. Hopefully, some of you, you know, you're already thinking about that. If you're getting in upper high school, some of you middle schoolers, you need to be preparing yourself. I need to become a man. I need to become a woman so that when I reach that place, I can find a wife. I can find a husband. And here's what's so cool. That when in our maleness and our femaleness, we come together, we form a one flesh union that reflects the glory of God. And what's cool about this one flesh union, it's both parties are different. And their differences cause them to become one. And I want to explain some examples of how this works in real life. Think about an orchestra. Have you ever been to the orchestra? Or think about a band. Have you played band? You've been in a marching band? You've seen a marching band? Think about a band, okay? Now, in a band, there are a ton of different instruments, right? They're not all the same. Like, can you imagine going to a band competition and everyone's got a flute? I love flutes, but, you know, 400 flutes would be a little much, right? Because it'd be the same sound. There's no distinctive. There's no difference. But you know what's really cool? In a band, there's all kinds of different instruments. In an orchestra, there's all kinds of different instruments. And in their differences, they're playing for one common purpose. So they're different, but they're also one. And when we listen, what does it sound like? It's beautiful, right? And it's not their sameness that makes them beautiful. It's their differences that make them beautiful. I'll give another example. Think about a football team, okay? You've got a football team. Imagine if everyone was the quarterback. Imagine all 11 guys line up, down, sit. No, you down. It's like everybody's yelling the snap count, right? You can't have one quarterback because you got to have someone to hand it off to. You got somebody to block. You got somebody to pass it to, right? So in a football team, there's differences, but we all have one common purpose, right? So there's differences, but there's also oneness, and we're all going to that one common purpose, and because we're different, we can all act as a unit of one and accomplish things. And I'll give you one more example. Think of a construction crew. You want a house built. You call in a construction crew. Imagine if everyone showed up and everyone, all they did was poured the foundation. So all they do all day long is pour the foundation, pour the foundation. Well, your house is not going to get built, right? It's got to be all these different people coming together with one common purpose. We're going to build a house. So you have somebody laying the block, somebody laying the foundation, somebody building the wall, somebody putting the roof up, putting the sheetrock, laying carpet, painting, putting the appliances in. All this comes together with one unified purpose. So let's bring this to us, male and female. You see, God has this really cool purpose, Lord willing, if you're not called to singleness, that you will one day get married. And it won't be your sameness that reflects the glory of God. It will be your differences that reflects the glory of God. So with me and Katie in our relationship, it's not our sameness that reflects the glory of God. It's me as a man in my masculinity that's reflecting the glory of God, and Katie in her femininity reflecting the glory of God. That's just a fun word to say. You want to say that word, femininity? It's a really cool word. So it's us two together, both in the image of God, but both equally what? Different. And it is our differences that ultimately reflects the glory of God. So here's the question. If it's our differences that reflects the glory of God, if it's my maleness and her femaleness that reflects the glory of God, guess who hates that? Satan. He hates that. I mean, can you imagine how much Satan hates you guys who reflect God? Have you ever thought about that? When Satan looks at you, you reflect God. Can you imagine how much he hates you? Like every time he looks down at you, he's like, oh, you look a little bit like God in the mud, right? Because he hates God. He's an enemy of God. So he's like, stop looking like God. So you know what he I think intentionally does? Is he tries to get you females to distort the image of God that God has put in you. And I think for you guys, Satan tries to distort the image of God he has put inside of you. So that all of us, we get confused, we act out differently than how God created us, and ultimately, the challenge is a challenge to the image of God. And that's what Satan wants. He loves when Beyonce pushes what she's pushing. He loves when Lady Gaga comes out as another gender because he knows the glory of God. The image of God is in some way being marred, in some way being stained. He loves the sitcom dad because he knows that is an assault to the very image of God. So that's why our culture, that's why Satan, who's behind most of our culture, is pushing those things. So as I said, this is the introduction to tonight's talk. Okay, hopefully you've seen, okay, there's some things going on here. I had no idea that there was all this going on with gender and with blending and Satan pushing this and culture pushing this. But now I see that, okay, I am created different and my difference is supposed to image God and give him glory. So what does that mean for me as a male? How do I as a male reflect the glory of God in my maleness And if you're female, how do you in your femaleness reflect the glory of God? Those questions are going to be answered tonight. Because tonight we have Brother Ricky coming, who's going to do main session 2 after dinner. And he is going to introduce and talk about biblical manhood. What does it mean, guys, to be a biblical man? If you're a sixth grade guy, what should you be pursuing to grow into a biblical man? If you're a senior, what should you be pursuing? Or what characteristics should that look like? And then, after that, Sis Salisa is going to come in and talk to you ladies about biblical womanhood. But here's what's cool. Everyone's going to be in here for both talks. Because it doesn't need to be just the females figuring out what the Bible says about what it means to be female. Because you know what? You guys need to know what a biblical woman looks like. Because one day, hopefully, you're going to find one. And you're going to marry her. And guess what? You need to know what you're looking for. And girls, one day, you're going to be at the age where you're going to be looking for a husband. And you need to know, what does a biblical man look like? Because I promise you, your cultural view is somewhat marred on what a biblical man should do and how he should act. So 2 sessions, okay? 1 session, you're going to take notes for yourself, right? Session 1, if you're a guy, you're taking notes for yourself. If you're a girl, you're taking notes for your future husband. What am I looking for? Here's what he looks like. Biblical man. Okay, that's what I want. That's what I'm going for right there. Then in session 2, the guys are taking notes for their future wife, and the girls are taking notes for themselves. So that is where we're going. So hopefully you've kind of got a answer to the question, why in the world are we talking about boys and girls this weekend? I mean, this was for the first time, the first theme. I got a lot of people who's like, you announce a theme like, okay, we're going to study Jonah. Cool. You know, we're going to study Do Hard Things. Cool. We're going to study boys and girls. What? Huh? Like, it was for the first time I found myself explaining the theme to like 95 of your parents. Like, what's the theme? Don't they know if they're a boy or a girl? Like this is, what's the deal? But hopefully you've kind of seen some of the muck that we're in, right? And we're in some heavy muck over here. It's very cloudy. We kind of don't know really what manhood looks like and what womanhood looks like. So that's the reason for this weekend. Because here's what I want. I want you to image God well. I want you to if you're a man in this room, I want you to hear what biblical manhood looks like. And I want you to say, okay, that's what I'm pursuing because I want to glorify God. And if you're a woman in here, I want you to hear what biblical womanhood looks like. And I want you to say, okay, I'm a woman. I have no control of that. I'm a man. I have no control of that. So I'm going to just pursue how God has created me to be, because ultimately it's not about my happiness. It's about the glory of God. If you remember the video, the princess boy, do you remember what sort of the key reason why they allowed him to do it? Well, at the end of the day, it made him happy. And I want you to know that that is the defining statement to almost all of the behavior that is accepted today. Here's the deal. As long as you're happy, that's what we want. And our happiness is put above almost everything else. As long as he's happy, that's okay. Well, I think there's one person who's not happy. And I think his name's God. And I think his happiness matters more than ours. So you've got 2 things that I want you to do this weekend. Number 1, I want you to examine what God has to say about your specific gender. If you're a man, what does God say to you? If you're a woman, what does God say to you? And then number 2, my second plea is this, that you commit to live your life in light of God's word instead of culture or your own understanding. Okay? So I want you guys to make a commitment now. Here's the deal. I'm going to listen to what God says, and I'm going to obey God because I want to glorify him more than just my personal happiness, because ultimately I want the glory of God to be known in my life. So 2 things you learned this morning. Here's a summary. Number 1, culture believes men and women are equally the same. Let's say that again. Men and women are equally the same. No difference. Function, roles, no difference. You decide. If you want to be masculine, go for it. If you want to be feminine, go for it. What does God's word say? Men and women are equally different. Let's say that again. Equally different. Now, here's what you got to do. You got to figure out which different you are. And in your difference, you got to pursue it so that you can hold up your side. And the girls or the guys can hold up their side. And we, as mankind, can image and glorify our Creator. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this weekend that we can explore who we are. God, you created us to reflect your image. What a honor, but what a responsibility. So God, I pray that whether we're men or whether we're women in this room, that we would pursue biblical manhood or biblical womanhood in a way that ultimately brings glory and honor to you. So I pray tonight that you be with Brother Ricky as he talks to the men. I pray that you be with Sis Salisa as she talks to the women. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us all as your children so that we grow up into maturehood and reflect your image for your own glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.